delivering it, and we'd like to be able to assess the cost and the ability to do that. But it's going to have to be at the place of use, and it's going to have to be treatment for not to clean up the whole basin, but just to treat the drinking water that's needed for the community.
Thank you. And which agencies at the local level are responsible for monitoring the water quality that families may be faced with?
Yeah, in California, if you've got 15 connections or more, then it's a Department of Public Health responsibility. At less than 15 connections, it's the County Public Health Department. And as far as I'm aware, there is really no one responsible for individual private wells.
And the work to look at the source of contamination, particularly agricultural use of fertilizers, once an aquifer has been contaminated, as you indicate, there's no really efficient or cost-effective way to remediate that contamination.
Yes.
But you can still draw that water and treat it for safe drinking.
If you have the resources to treat it.
That's the key. Thank you.
Senator Wilk.
Hi. I have some questions about previous bonds and whether, for example, Prop 15, you've listed a number of all the bonds here, which certainly indicate treatment infrastructure, small systems, community water systems. Do we have any knowledge about success in this area?
Well, I think
that we're focused on sort of work.
Yeah, I'm not sure which bond it was. Might have been 50. The Water Board got $10 million just for arsenic contaminated small disadvantaged communities. That money was huge demand for it. It just flew out the door, and we, you know, built a few wastewater treatment, I mean, water supply treatment. The Department of Public Health has been targeting these communities for, you know, they've identified the communities that need to have these issues addressed, and they've certainly been targeting them and looking for solutions for them. The problem in some cases is that in order for the Department of Public Health to fund these projects, they have to demonstrate that they have sufficient resources to operate and maintain the project, because there are no monies dedicated for operation and maintenance. And in many cases, these communities are unable to make that demonstration. And so, but in some cases, they are, and the Department of Public Health is moving forward to try to address their problems.
Are there communities in which there is an adjacent or close municipal water supply that is of better quality that perhaps our funding could assist them because they're poor and they cannot, I mean, connecting to an urban water supply is expensive, that perhaps might be useful in, I mean, we might put some monies in that direction, you know, assisting a community that's adjacent but not part of the municipal water system.
Especially if they don't have the O&M, even if you put in the infrastructure to begin with.
And it's expensive per connection.
Almost always regionalization is the best alternative if you have a community nearby that can help a small disadvantaged community. Regionalization is the alternative that works the best and that usually costs the least. The problem that communities have is that in many cases, you know, the community might be very small. It doesn't have a lot of institutional capacity.
Correct.
And so, you know, in some cases, regionalization might work. In other cases, there are other alternatives that need to be explored. And really, for each of these small, very small communities, there's a different solution for each one, depending on the particulars of their situation. But certainly, you're absolutely right that our experience and the experience of the Department of Public Health is that if regionalization is feasible, it's almost invariably the preferred alternative.
The other thing is just a comment I'd like to make, and thank you for very valuable testimony. The comment I'd like to make is that this is a problem it's not just restricted to the Central Valley. It may be the most egregious in the Central Valley, but it's not only there. In Yolo County, places and, you know, Mr. Howard's familiar with these, Binning Track, right next to the city, you have North Davis Meadows, you have Sparta, you have a number of communities that wouldn't qualify as, you know, disadvantaged at all. But the cost of connecting, or the cost of providing a different kind of system, is incredibly high. It's out of the middle-class price range as well. So it is a major problem, and the incidence that you've discovered throughout the state is really concerning, and it's not even the private domestic wells or the small water systems either. So I want to thank you for, at least, I don't know what we're going to do about it, but you're going to try and do something.
Maybe that's a good question also to put in, that bears further discussion on how you prioritize who goes in and works with which communities, gives them the options. I can appreciate real small cities or water districts struggling. They don't have the staff and the expertise to analyze all the different short-term and long-term options, so we end up importing containers of drinking water, which as a state we have to do better than, you know, what third world countries are faced with. I had a question, though. I was curious on your chart on community water systems that rely on contaminated groundwater. Los Angeles County jumps off the page here.
Yes, Los Angeles County jumps off.
Could you comment on that? Because it's not really known as the agricultural mecca of the world.
Yes, well, it jumps off the page because there are a lot of groundwater wells there. And in many cases, in that particular area, the problem is not naturally occurring. It is our post-industrial, economy where what occurred back in the 30s and 40s, San Gabriel Basin,
aerospace,
San Fernando
World War
Basin,
II, all the contaminants in our aquifers.
Enormous amount of solvents and, you know, perchlorate and other areas. Right. We just find those problems all through that basin.
So separating that as an issue from the rural Central Valley kinds of things, what are the options on cleaning that up?
Well, of course, you know, we've got San Gabriel Valley is a Superfund site, and there has been a lot of money put into that particular area. Most of those, again, because of the very widespread nature of the pollution in that area, but in this case, mostly man-made, you know, the solution that's deployed is often simply wellhead treatment again. That's in many cases where you find broad pollution, wellhead treatment is the...
Generally, they have larger water districts that are serving.
Sure,
correct?
The water districts provide the treatment necessary to remove...
But the rate payers and things in order to facilitate access to cleaner water, would they have the treatment systems in place?
Yes, that's why, that is a substantial expense, but there are economies of scale in the L.A. Basin that make that reasonably... feasible.
Consolidating, not that you can do that, because I appreciate, after being on this committee, the turf wars between different water districts down there. Are there recommendations you can make that would reduce the vast number of people that are consistently and, I guess, forever will be impacted by contaminated water? I know Speaker Perez had a bill on the subject regarding Maywood.
I just think that there needs to be a system in place that ensures that all communities have the capacity to achieve drinking water levels. In most cases, it will be through local funding sources because of economies of scale. But the state, I believe, will have to step forward in areas where the economies of scale make it infeasible to deliver drinkable water.
Final question, just you made a quick reference to revolving loan funds because that was in our past water bonds, I believe. Is that the best way to get money out the door by use of a revolving loan, or are those disadvantaged communities not even able to pay that back?
I think it's a...
So that they don't even qualify for the construction of a small treatment plant?
I think if you look at the overall need, the $40 billion that the state revolving fund is incapable of providing that need, but nonetheless, for the communities that can afford low-interest loans, that it is a very good option for them for developing the infrastructure needs they have. It's just that for the very smallest communities, you know, the operation and maintenance plus the infrastructure cost exceed their capacity.
Who makes that determination of who's financially able to move forward with the revolving loan and who isn't? Just...
Yeah, well, the Department of Public Health does that presently as they review each of those.
Financially. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your in-depth information you provided us.
Thank you.
And with that, you notice I've lost a lot of the members up here. But may I see a show of hands if anyone wanted to take a minute or two to make a statement for the record for this hearing? Any hands going up? I see one. Anyone else? Then come on down.
I guess I'm the only one incapable of sitting for 2 hours and not saying anything. My name's Jennifer Clary, and I'm the Water Policy Analyst for Clean Water Action. And I would like conveniently to follow up on the most recent speaker. So a couple things. One, arsenic and nitrate are actually related, because one of the ways that you address nitrate contamination is you dig a deeper well, and in many cases you encounter arsenic, which you then have to treat. So they often go hand in hand. Two, I would take some issue with the previous speaker's determination that no one regulates or protects domestic well supplies, because in my opinion, it's the responsibility of the State Water Board to protect source water. So it's their responsibility. Next, in terms of funding, I do not think that the SRF has a funding stream and has its place, but it has a lot of strings attached to it that we need.
That's the revolving loan?
Yes, the revolving loan fund. And the drinking water revolving loan fund has the ability to do a lot of capacity development and issue grants, but there's a lot of strings attached. So we have a need for funding that isn't attached. The last two bond measures.
So you would suggest two categories?
I would say, you know, we'll provide you with our recommendations in the next week or so, but you need to have a separate funding program, particularly to encourage the kind of regionalization that was suggested. Also, it would be appropriate to have some funding for research and development specific to small water systems, so cost-effective, small-scale solutions can be tested and developed. And again, to reiterate what Mr. Howard said, bonds are very limited in their usefulness when you end up having high O&M costs, often $100 a month for a household for safe drinking water. And so we also need to think about how we address O&M in areas where you don't have the ability to hook up to another system. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Look forward to your, you're going to turn in some written recommendations in a letter. And that reminds me to let anyone know that Dennis O'Connor would be happy to receive any information you have for us to consider. Our next hearing will be a road show, I think. It'll be down probably in the Ventura County area on looking at regional solutions, but not just regional as in Southern California, but focused regional applicability statewide. It'll be on Friday, May 10th in the morning, and so we'll keep you informed on that. And I'll end this hearing just with Senator Wilkes started with the purpose of the hearing is to revisit and revise. Well, I think what we've been doing is actually focusing on what I'll refer to as the three R's in our hearing approach here, and that's to reduce, revisit, and revise. That's sort of been the subject of our discussion, how to relook at the 2009 bond and what's applicable today, especially if we have to reduce the amount of the bond, what should be our priorities, and have they changed? So thank you very much for attending this hearing. I appreciate your willingness to stay with us the last 2 hours.